Well, good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of WTF Walk the Floors. I'm Stephanie Ledger with First Rate Hospitality, and I'm joined with my co-host, Michelle Klein of Klein Hospitality. We are in part three. What do we have going on today, Michelle?
So part three, we're going to talk about sustainability, and we're going to touch base on health and wellness. So two topics that somewhat go hand in hand and definitely trending topics as we move into a new year and people tend to push that reset button and start observing what are some of their behaviors and as hoteliers, we have to start looking at what does that look like and what we can do. So we are here again. If you haven't watched or listened to part one and two, I highly recommend you go back and do that first. We're here with Jason from GOR Hospitality Solutions, George from ComOps, and Erica from Erica Solano Luxury Hospitality. This is part three once again. Let's take a deep dive into sustainability. And Jason, I'm going to start with you. How are luxury hospitality services incorporating sustainable practices without compromising on the luxury expectations by high-end clients? What have you seen?
This one's tough. I'm not going to lie to you because my gut instinct on that one is we're not enough hotels are doing that enough of the time. I think that's still a slow moving ship in luxury, explicitly in luxury. One of the hotels that I think is doing a great job is One Hotels, the number one hotels. I haven't worked with them too much exclusively, but I hear so many phenomenal things about them. Another brand that I have, and I can tell a bit more directly some phenomenal stories from them, is One and Only, who are more international right now, and they're finally coming to the new US next year. But these companies are really trying to find ways to do things. And I think the guest demand is driving sustainability even a little bit more than the industry kind of side to side. So like a great example is gone are the days of triple sheeting your bed and getting brand new sheets and pillowcases every single day of your stay. That is way old school. And I even think the little cards of, now we're more waste. Let's make a card out of paper to put on your bed to ask you to participate in our sustainability program if it's not too much trouble. And now it's just becoming we will only change your sheets once every couple of days. And every brand is doing it a little bit differently. But I'm under the impression that brands like One Hotels and One and Only kind of spoke louder about that trend. Now more and more hotels are linking to that piece. Same with towels. Maybe please hang your towel up and we will not wash it and spend more money and more energy on washing that towel if you can use it a few times. Let's be honest, at home, some of us probably use our towel too many times before we push it through the washing machine. So we can be fine with it at a hotel. I think great initiatives on energy conservation, where if you leave the room and lights are on, now the smart rooms will turn those lights off if they don't notice motion. That's a great piece. Farm to table, I think, is a really good piece, making sure that we're sourcing local ingredients and spending less to get those items to your restaurant. And then as I did a little more research, a lot of waste change is happening where if we can take some of the ingredients from our fine dining restaurants and apply them to other areas of the hotel, or other ingredients in other restaurants in the hotel, that's a great way to have lower food costs. So don't get me wrong, it's definitely happening. But if you throw that word luxury into it, my understanding and my exposure to it is it's a much more slower moving train than maybe it should have been over the past few years.
Absolutely. I agree with what you said, Jason. It's important that we note that as we inject new initiatives, we have to hit, because you can't go around it, you still have to pierce through a learning curve. And it required for us to use those silly cards made of paper that, again, are non-sustainable, right? Where we had to educate our guests, this is how we're going to start operating. So as we see that the guest gets more confident and understanding of what the initiative looks like and so on and so forth, I think that we're now able to deviate from that as well. On the other hand, you have your Generation X and Y that are the ones that are mostly consuming these days, which have always been a generation that has always been more driven towards sustainability and green. And, you know, it has to do with the things we were exposed to when we were growing up, and we don't want to see that. So, right? So there's all these things that have to do with the learning and the change that we're about to go through. I love the fact that we are seeing more and more those organizations or those brands that are doing away with the learning aspect of it. Like, we're done. We're past, right? What can we do differently? But the one thing that I don't think we're still not doing enough is allowing the guests to have some sort of comparison as to what this effort is resulting in. Example, when we recycle one bottle, that means X, Y, and Z. Or when we take this waste to the pig farm in the area, this results in X, Y, and Z, right? So a little bit more of that is what I would like to see more brands push. I do think that there's brands out there that do a great job on that, but not so much the rest, where the guest gets a visual comparison of what it is, how it is that they are contributing to the change.
That's the ROI for them. Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this,
Stephanie? Go for it.
Yeah. I wanted to add on it too, is I think also too, is we'll, you know, we see these big branded brands and they're like, oh, by 2025 we're going to do this. And now I'm a loyal guest to that brand and I go into the restaurant or to the front desk and saying, hey, I saw a commercial or a news article about it. And then that employee doesn't know. And then you also too seeing them doing the steps that saying that the brand's not doing, I think, you know, it really is going to be a lot about training from a corporate level down to that line level employee of putting it into the onboarding, it putting it into your daily lineups and huddles and things, to making sure that when the employee or when the guest is asking, because that's what you were talking about, Jason, that it's a lot of it's coming from that guest demand as well, is now making sure that the employee is being able to have the resources to either find out the information or able to say the information.
Critical aspect. And the other thing to keep in mind is that not everybody can learn from memorizing or by memorizing. So letting the team member into the little secret as the why we're doing this can take you a long way, because now they really understand and now they're able to buy into it, which is what you want at the end of the day when it comes to change. All right. So are there any notable examples of eco-friendly initiatives within luxury hospitality, Jason, that you can think of? And once Jason is done, I'd like to hear from everybody else. What have you seen out there?
Yeah, I apologize. I think I shared some of that accidentally in the initial question with some of the big examples. I think one of the one that resonates with me that I was doing a little more research on this one is really the how restaurants are being so incredibly down to the finest detail of making sure that if they say that there is zero waste or they're farm to table, that they really truly are, and they can tell the story and they are able to show that we're only fishing off of our coast and it's only fish that are acceptable to be fished, and we're not going to go after animals that we shouldn't. They're really living up to that storytelling. They're not it's not just kind of blowing smoke, you know, where they're really making it a clear statement. It's not just a little note that says chef so-and-so goes out of their way to curate great experiences by only sourcing local ingredients, and they're getting things from half a country away. Right, that's where we have to find those kind of moments. So I think that my opinion is F&B is driving this. And then I would say that housekeeping is the runner up. They're the next ones really driving sustainability.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think
Erica or George or Stephanie, anything to add on this?
Yeah, I'll add that I think a change.
Yes,
that,
I think.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
George, let's go with you first, then we'll move to Erica. George, go for it.
Mine is relatively quick because I think it's something that now, so 5 years ago in the industry, the little mini amenity bottles were everywhere. And I think we've finally kind of reached a critical mass where it's almost becoming the norm, where we're seeing big, higher volume pump dispensers, even in luxury hotels. And I don't know about you, but I'm totally okay with it. I think that there are higher quality options. I just saw one that was made of metal, like a really dense stainless steel or something, and it felt very luxurious. And I think that that's an example of when we first heard of that, especially the hotel operators, I'm sure they were frustrated and they didn't want to do that. And there are many hotels who still haven't done that. But I think that's one of those things, like, we just have to do it, even if it means it's a slightly different guest experience. I don't think it means it's a lesser guest experience. As long as you're still making sure it works, making sure it's full, which I'm sure we've all had those experiences, and that's not good. Making sure it's clean, exactly. So there are some challenges there. But I think that the industry does need to look at, okay, is that change that is absolutely a huge change, is that worth the savings in from the environmental perspective, if it means a slightly different guest experience? I think so. And so I think we should continue to look at those kinds of factors.
Love that one. So true.
Mm-hmm. Erica, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think a couple of things here. I think that we are way late on this, right? Way, way late on this. I remember honestly asking about, you know, some sustainability standards a few years ago, and before they were implemented in the industry. And I seriously, they looked at me like I had three heads. I'm not kidding.
Like, when
I remember
you enter
that
the room
moment,
and the lights go off and nothing is used that has been used in Europe for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Yeah.
I'm like, wait a second. So are we being serious here? Right? Like, are there no luxury standards related to sustainability? So, I'm so glad that this, you know, that they came, you know, to light a couple of years ago. I'm so happy. It's definitely going to take time as any learning curve. So good for that. The other thing I think is that the companies could do, or some of the companies, especially for your, you know, your big hotel brands, some of them may have already a very well-structured ESG program and their corporate, you know, sustainability efforts very well communicated. But when you look at some other independent brands, they may be doing some efforts, but they are not being communicated, not to their staff, not to their guests, right? So in turn, I think, again, talking about different generations, we need that. We need that communication to be delivered the right way. And, you know, I had the privilege to, during my time with the Walt Disney Company, I had the privilege to be in charge of the sustainability portion for the ships and communicating that internally. And it is so beautiful when the company is actually able to say, we have done XYZ that translates into XYZ, because then it creates a sense of, oh my gosh, we're doing the right thing. But actually doing the right thing, right? Not the greenwashing thing for saying, well, because I have to change my shampoo and I have to change my conditioner. I think that if right now there are still, because unfortunately there are still, it's still that mentality, right? Of like, well, it's not that important. I think that we are very wrong. Like, I don't know how to say it, you know, in another way. Like, I think that if there is not this, you know, awakening of saying we need to do something, and urging people to do something. And in I'm going to be very transparent here. One of the reasons why I added that pillar to my consulting company was because I'm like, I cannot be the one saying we are behind on this and not doing anything. So I partnered with wonderful people that talk about food innovation. And when they talk to me about how they can change the papaya seeds into something, something that could be implemented into the menu, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what we need in the world. This is what we need in the world, in addition to the beautiful service execution and the beautiful luxury that we deliver. But to actually care for those things and partnering with the right people and looking at the right individuals to say, you know about this, you know how to transform the papaya leaf into something else. Show me how. Give me the low-hanging fruits of the hotel. What do I do with the, I recently visited a restaurant, right? Like, what do I do with the waste? And then they turn it into some sort of like something that had like part of the desserts. And that's beautiful. Like, we need more of that. I'm not the expert. That's why I partner with the right people. But that's also why I said, let's offer this, right, as a service, because the industry needs that. And think about cruise ships, right? Think about cruise ships, the amount of food that's in there. And the amount of waste of food that happens just naturally, no fault to anybody, right? But you're talking about 4,000 passengers. Of course, there's going to be food waste. But to know what to do with those things, I think it's so important that we truly, truly create that buzz and have that passion to do something for our world.
Buffets need to go away.
Yeah.
That's where all the waste comes from, is buffets.
Well, let me tell you, the team member dining room gets a lot from the actual buffet. But yes, and I think that buffets are going away. We've seen it in Vegas. Vegas has been like the mecca of buffets, and we've seen how there has been an incredible decrease. Erica, you're in California, right?
Well, right now I'm in Mexico City, but yes, I'm normally from California.
Okay.
Yes, I'm normally in LA.
You have to make some time to go visit Chumash if you haven't yet. It's an Indian gaming property. It's incredible what they're doing there.
From
what they do with the food to the I just cannot describe it. We need more than just an episode. So if if you're in that area, it's right above the it's in Santa Ynez. Highly recommend. Yes. Go check out that property.
A little bit far from me, but definitely we'll make an effort to go. I think it's always great to hear those wonderful stories, right? Of what is actually
incredible what they're doing there. Yeah. So, Eric, I'll stick with you. Given the growing emphasis on health and wellness, how do luxury hospitality services incorporate wellness offerings into the guest experience today, based on what you've seen so far?
So as I mentioned, right, we saw the implementation of some luxury industry standards related to adding variety of nutritionally focused items on the menus for all meal periods versus only the breakfast. We also saw the implementation of some luxury standards to add more variety or offerings for the guests to be able to pursue a healthy lifestyle during the guest stay. So also the change in some of the room or welcome amenities, even the mini bar, right? Having healthy beverages and snacks. But I also think that there's something very important happening, which, you know, with incorporating the design in the hotels that allows for spaces that promote that well-being. So whether that is, you know, in the room, equipment in the room, which of course we have been seeing, for the past few years, but actually paying more attention to that, or even building some public spaces around the property that enhances that well-being for the guest during the stay. I think that's something that, you know, some of the offerings that we see, some of the notable trends, which I know that we will talk about that, right? But just, you know, in relation to spaces, the nap gardens, I recently saw that in a hotel, right? The nap garden, which is beautiful, right? Or just more designated spaces, quiet areas, even the better sleeping options, the blackout curtains or the half and half mattresses, all of the technology in the room that can actually support the better sleep or the relaxation that may include, you know, the white noise sound or TV apps that allow for, you know, restorative yoga at the end of the night and set up in your evening service instead of that music that normally plays there forever. And there are some particular brands, you know, that there's a particular brand that I admire so much, the Equinox Hotels. Of course, they come from the wellness background, right? But the room, if you have not had the chance to stay there, right? But just everything in the room exudes this wellness. Granted, it is related to their unique brand and where they come from, but even the thoughtfulness of having your AM and PM body wash, right? So the AM is energizing, the PM is like more calming one. And then, you know, your little notepad right next to the bed table with some meditation exercises. But I think I think there is a lot more than that we could do in you know, in relation to the wellness. I'm glad to see again the trend. I'm glad to see the trend in sustainability, but I think that we still need to see more of those things that the guests can definitely say, okay, this is actually enhancing my stay. I feel better. I leave the hotel feeling better than when I first arrived. And I wish that we could see more of that.
Erica, what is one thing, one specific thing that you want to see more of?
Sustainability efforts, definitely. Sustainability efforts. I'm a big passionate for that, and I wish I knew how to help the properties. That's why I partner with wonderful people that can do that for them. I want to see more people being more, you know, more aware. Everything that we do has an impact on the environment. So choose carefully, but know what to choose, right? Know what to choose, because sometimes, you know, you may want to do better, but you just don't know. And I think that happens a lot to the hotels. They just don't know what are the low hanging fruits. And
absolutely
being able to help them to say, this is how you can improve, even just that 1% every day to help the planet. Doesn't that feel great? I mean, call me an optimist here, right? But I just think it's just like that 1% that you can do every day for the environment, for the planet, for the world. Like, why not? Why not if we are in that position to be able to make it happen?
Absolutely. Powerful words. Stephanie, what are your thoughts on this?
No, this is great. I would say on the wellness, you know, what I'm seeing as well is a check-in being offered. Are you trying to take a mental break and being technology free? So they're calling it as the slow traveler. So here you're saying, I'm coming here. I am taking a mental reset. I need to clear my head. I need to stay off of my phone. I don't want to be tempted by technology, and really being able to embrace myself in my atmosphere at the hotel, and being able for the hotel now to accommodate that for the guests. So, you know, we're seeing this more on the wellness retreat resorts that are suited for that. But I think this is something that we're going to see more often coming up for the hotels and brands that are looking to cater for their guests that are looking to go away and take a little mental health check.
God bless our focus button on our iPhones, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I always call D&D. I'm on D&D. I'm going to go on D&D. Yeah. So, and they're like, D&D what? What does that mean? Okay, never mind. It's focus. This is fantastic. Jason and George, do you have any thoughts when it comes to wellness?
I think maybe Stephanie,
what
I just want
do
to
you
share.
Look for when you go stay at a hotel and you're trying to disconnect?
Yeah, I think, Stephanie, you made me think of an example that I saw recently at a spa, luxury spa, where they, and this isn't new, but it, I think, should be done. They had thoughtful reminders, not only from a privacy perspective for other guests, but also for that individual guest to turn off your phone. They had a little place, a kind of a holder in the locker to leave your phone. and the robes did not have pockets. And so you really, even if you did, you were kind, they were kind of forcing your hand where if you were going to take your phone, it's going to be awkward. And so I think that like there are ways that, and maybe we could probably debate the, that from an experiential perspective, but I think that that property was really taking a very progressive step to almost force the guest to relax in the place where you really should be relaxing and without your phone. So I think, what I would love to see is like a Wi-Fi blocker in the spa. No cell service, no Wi-Fi somehow. Really taking it to that extreme where you can totally check out if you want to. So that's what came to mind for me.
Very nice. Jason, any final thoughts?
I think one that we missed talking about, and it's such an obvious one, is the fitness centers. Mm-hmm. That many hotels in the luxury sector look at it as the I hope no one goes in there. We just have a checklist from these companies that audit us and we have to have certain things. So we're going to do it, but there's really no care and attention. And there's almost anti-wellness in their fitness center. So I would really more of a challenge to those listening in on this. If you are running a hotel or you're part of a team helping a hotel that is trying to be stronger in wellness, start easy. Look at your fitness center. Yeah, and let's see how phenomenally unhealthy and well-minded your fitness center is, and maybe just start there.
Starting with your air vents. Anyway.
Sustainability and wellness together.
When I was managing departments, I used to lay on the ground to see what do the guest sees. If I'm doing crunches on the floor, what do I see? Right? Mm-hmm. And the vent is the first thing that you're going to see. And it's all dusty. Anyway, I deviated. I want to thank you all so much for being here, for sharing your insights. Stephanie, I know you'll take your few minutes to thank everyone, but we're both in alignment as to this was just fantastic. Three episodes loaded with insight, with expertise. And I so hope that we get to do this again. So let's plan on maybe like a end of Q3 type of situation to wrap up the year where we can all get together again. And thank you so much for just sharing and pouring your brains into this conversation. It was really lovely. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone. I think we gave our listeners and viewers some great information that they can bring back and look at their own properties or their own hospitality establishments. And we are in the beginning of the year talking about where we're seeing the future for hospitality, and we'll see where the brands end up at the end of the year and what new things may come to us on changing the trajectory for luxury hospitality. But thank you again, this was fabulous, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.